This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Reverend Joseph L. Garner and the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church of Leesville presents its annual Family Day Weekend. Saturday, May 21st, family enrichment classes from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Family night concert featuring Lisa Knowles and the Brown Singers of Memphis at 6. Opening up for Lisa Knowles will be Big Show and the Quartet Boys of Suwali, Louisiana. Tickets are $20, available at eventbrite.com. Sunday, May 22nd, family worship and the carnival. Free boiled crawfish, hamburgers, and hot dogs. They'll have food trucks, games, and balloon jumpers for the kids from 9:30 to 4 p.m.
Hey, come on.
The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. For more information, 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church is another proud sponsor of this station.
thank God for our young people on today. As we stand all over this place, prepare to hear a word from the Lord. We want to call your attention to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Amen. I want y'all to repeat after me. We're real people, striving to serve a real God by ministering to the needs of a real world. Amen. That's our mission here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, and every now and then we need to be reminded of our mission. Amen. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Amen. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from this subject. God is still rolling stones away. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that they would be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tell that neighbor, say, neighbor, God is still rolling stones away. Amen. We greet you on this Easter Sunday in the year of our Lord 2022. This is the day that the Lord has made, a day that has been set aside annually to acknowledge and celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But as we celebrate on this Easter, I want you to know and understand that Easter is not all about the Easter bunny, hippity hopping along and bringing chocolate eggs for you to forget about your New Year's resolution diet. Amen. It's not about getting your eat on. Amen. Easter is not about hiding spring-colored eggs over every inch of a yard or field for little children to lose their minds trying to find them. And I know we have an Easter egg hunt following this service, and I had a pastor friend of mine to chastise me. Amen, because we're having an Easter egg hunt. He said Easter is not about Easter eggs. But then he went on to talk about the new suit he was going to be wearing for Easter. And I said, Reverend, it ain't about that either. Easter is not about buying new suits, new dresses, new hats, new shoes. It's not about the Easter madness sale or the Easter white sale. Let the truth be told, Easter is not even about a certain day. It's not even about a certain time of the year. On the contrary, Easter, or should I say Resurrection Day, ought to be celebrated every day, not just on Easter Sunday morning and as designated on our man-made calendars. Easter ought to be celebrated every morning that we get up and open our eyes and can still see the beauty and glory of the day. Easter ought to be celebrated every time we see our children running and playing in the house or in the yard. Easter should be celebrated every time you look at your paycheck and realize that you've gotten another pay raise on your job. Easter ought to be celebrated every time you pass by an accident on the highway, realizing it could have been you. Easter ought to be celebrated every time one of our loved ones transitions from this life to eternal rest. Because, my brothers and sisters, Christ died that we might have grace and mercy everlasting. Not a once-a-year grace. Tell your neighbor, not a once-a-year grace. Not a sometime grace. But a grace that is 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year, every single year for the rest of our lives. And so, my brothers and sisters, we are to celebrate Jesus because of what he did for us, and because what he did for us is unlike anything that anyone else will ever do for us in our lives. There may come a time when someone may give up their life to save yours. I was watching a show the other day on the television, and this sister who hadn't spoken to her sister in years, as a matter of fact, they had a kind of love-hate relationship. But one day this sister called her sister and said, I want to come visit you. I want to see you. Amen. And when she got there to visit her sister that she hadn't spoken to in many years, they went out to eat. And it was at the dinner table that this sister told her sister, I need a kidney. Amen. Ain't it funny how folk don't need you until they need something from you? Oh, but I'm so glad that only Jesus could do this for me. Only Jesus could save me from my sin condition. Only Jesus could wash me and make me whiter than snow. Only Jesus can pick me up and turn me around and place my feet on solid ground. You ought to thank God for Jesus today. Thank God for a man named Jesus who gave up his life that we might be able to live life and live it more abundantly. He gave up his life. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Yes, we are healed from the sickness of sin. We are healed from eternal damnation. We are healed from a carnal existence. He gave up his life that we are no longer condemned to die, but grace and mercy. Thank God for grace and mercy today. I thank God for grace and mercy. I thank God for the grace and mercy that has been extended to us by the Almighty God. Who are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about El Shaddai. I'm talking about Jehovah Jireh. Anybody know he'll provide for you? I'm talking about Jehovah Rapha. Anybody know him to be a healer? I'm talking about Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shema, Jehovah Sitkenu. What he did for us, no one else will be able to do. So there's greater significance. There are greater benefits involved when we look at him giving up his life for ours. My brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that after Jesus had his hands and feet nailed viciously to that old rugged cross, after Jesus had asked God to forgive them for they know not what they do, after Jesus had told the thief on the cross that today you will be with me in paradise, after Jesus told John to behold your mother and Mary behold your son, after he cried out in agony and pain, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And after he yelled, it is finished, and hung his noble head, giving up the very life that he held in his own hands. After they pierced him in his side with the spear to verify that he was truly dead, the Bible tells us that a man by the name of Joseph, who hailed from a place called Arimathea, asked the Roman governor Pilate if he could take the body of our Lord Jesus and put it in a grave that he had reserved for his own burial. After receiving permission, the body of Jesus was removed from the cross and placed into a borrowed tomb. Now, I know somebody ought to be asking, why do you say it was a borrowed tomb? Well, it was a borrowed tomb because he didn't need it long. He was going to give it right back. The Bible tells us that Jewish leaders went to Pilate and requested that a huge stone and armed guards be placed in front of the tomb so that no one would be able to steal the body and claim that Christ was still alive. And under these orders, the Roman army ensured that a huge stone was rolled in front of the tomb in such of a manner that it sealed its entrance, that no one could go in and no one could come out. They used a huge stone, an enormous boulder, a great big rock to seal the tomb of Jesus the Christ. My brothers and sisters, this stone is just one of many stones that you'll find in the Bible. And as we exegete this passage, you've got to understand that the stone in the Bible represents a burden. Yes, Jesus died, and his death was a burden upon all those that loved him. But to add fuel to the fire, they added the burden of a stone. If there was any hope of him overcoming the burden of death, then it was diminished with the thought that there would be no escape because of the stone. And so, my brothers and sisters, symbolically, the stone is a burden that cannot be easily moved. The Romans, they used this huge stone because they knew that there were not enough people that could come and move the stone without being noticed, without causing a commotion. And right now in here today, there are some of you that are weighed down by a stone that has been cast upon your own life. Some of you are bearing the stone of financial difficulty. Some are bearing the stone of depression. Some are bearing the stone of guilt. Some are bearing the stone of a broken heart. Some are bearing the stone of ill health. Some are bearing the stone of a broken marriage, a broken family, or just being spiritually, morally, mentally, and physically broken. Being broke is a heavy burden. Can I get a witness here today? I know I'm right because Proverbs 27:3 tells us that a stone is heavy. And whatever your burden is this morning, you are a witness to the fact that it's heavy and hard to bear. Don't get cute on me now. Amen. Thank God for this day. Thank God you look real good. But every now and then you got to be honest if to nobody but yourself. Is there anybody who's willing to admit, yes, Pastor, I'm carrying a stone and it's real heavy? Isaiah 8:14 says that a stone can be a stumbling block. In other words, a stone can trip you up. You may think you're doing okay. You may think that you've got it going on. You may think that you're walking the straight and narrow. You may even think that you're so close to Christ that nothing can get next to you. But then all of a sudden you trip because the devil has put a well-placed stone of stumbling in your path. But I want you to know that if you trip, don't fret. Just try to catch your balance and keep on keeping on. If you trip, don't give up on what you set out to accomplish. And even if you stumble and fall, tell that neighbor, get back up on your feet. Dust yourself off. Straighten your clothes up and walk, because I come by to tell you, God is still rolling stones away. Zechariah 12:3 tells us that stones are burdensome. They're not meant to be easy. They're not meant to accommodate your lifestyle. They are not meant to fit into your scheme of things. They're not meant to bring efficiency into your life. But they are meant to alter the way you do things. They're meant to alter the way you see things. They're meant to get in your way, to hinder you and stop you from doing the purpose of God in your life. They are burdensome, but I come by to tell you, don't you fret over it, because our God is still rolling stones away. I wish I could get one or two folk who have had some stones in their own lives. And my brother, my sister, you can look back over your life now and testify that it is true. God will roll the stones away. Give him praise in this place. And yet, God gives us a way out of no way. Because I can hear the psalmist say in Psalm 55:22, he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. If there's anybody here today who knows that God can and that God will sustain you, you ought to tell your neighbor, give your burdens to the Lord, because he's still rolling stones away. Let me move on. Let me move on. My brothers and sisters, stones are designed to break you. Stones are immovable and capable of breaking most substances. Matthew 21 and 44 goes as far as saying that whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. That's because stones are hard and difficult to overcome. They can hurt and they may even kill you if you're hit by one. That's why stoning was the most common form of execution in Bible days. If you were convicted of a crime, they would stone you to death. I'm here to tell you that if you're not careful, stones can kill you. If you don't believe me, just ask a little shepherd boy by the name of David. The Bible tells us that David used 3 smooth stones to slay a Philistine giant named Goliath. Everyone in the army of Israel was afraid of this giant. Everyone was overcome by his size and his ferociousness. And yet with 3 smooth stones, tell your neighbor they were smooth stones, David overcame this great big giant, causing him to fall to his death, and they were small stones. So imagine what a great big stone can do. Oh my brothers and sisters, don't be mistaken. Stones can kill you. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome began their journey to the tomb to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ early on that Sunday morning. We know it was Sunday morning because the Bible says that it was the first day of the week. The first day of the week followed the Jewish Sabbath, which at that time was Saturday. These ladies began to walk to the tomb. Now watch me now. They knew the stone was there. They had gotten word that the stone was there. They knew how big the stone was. But it didn't stop them from making their way to the tomb. Y'all, we ought to learn something from these 3 women. We ought to learn that if you walk by faith and not by sight, God will roll your stones away. We ought to learn something from these ladies, amen. No matter what folks say, no matter what they do, no matter how they treat you, if you have faith in God, where are my witnesses? God will roll the stones away. You ought to give him praise today. It would have been easy for them to not even begin their journey knowing that the stone was in the way, but they walked by faith and not by sight. And so on this Resurrection Sunday morning, I want to encourage you to walk by faith and not by sight. When you find yourselves climbing up the rough side of the mountain, you know bills are this high and money is this high. Don't let the stone stop you. When your name is scandalized and dragged through the miry clay, don't let the stone stop you. When you come across someone who knows not the Lord and their heart is cold and impenetrable, keep on giving them love. Don't let the stone stop you. When your health is failing you and you're lying on your bed of affliction, you ought to look up to the hills from whence cometh your help. And don't let the stone stop you. When you don't know how you're going to finish your education because you don't have the necessary funds, I come by to tell you, don't let the stone stop you. You see, the devil wants the stone to stop you today. The devil wants the stone to stop your marriage from working. The devil wants the stone to stop your financial blessing. The devil wants the stone to stop you from knowing God's plan for your life. The devil wants your family to fail. The devil wants your job to become a burden on you. The devil wants to stop you from getting your education. The devil wants to stop you from being a success. That way you can't help anybody else. The devil wants to stop you from worshiping and praising God. But if there are any saints in the house who are willing to help bear the infirmities of the weak, you ought to tell your neighbor that God is still rolling stones away. You see, I don't know about you, But I know another stone. I said, I know another rock. And this rock, this stone is greater than any stone the devil can lay down before me. My stone is like a mountain. And when I get in trouble or when the devil gets after me, I can get behind my mountain. I can get under the shadow of his wings. And is there anybody who knows that God will shelter you? Is there anybody who knows that God will protect you? Is there anybody who can say, I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave, but my stone, my rock, my mountain, he made my enemies behave. If you know it, you ought to give him praise. Do I have a witness? I heard the songwriter say, in times like these, we need a savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure that your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Do you know that rock? His name is Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Do you know him this morning? Do you know him this morning? I hear John saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone. And in that white stone,